Good morning. Welcome to EMP. Sorry about that. Running a little late. Literally was running from IFC. All right. Let's go into today's word. I want to read first from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And then I'll go into Luke chapter 10. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. Seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Now, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, it says, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that in this time that you would speak to us on what it means to follow you, what it means to love you with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and what it means to love our neighbor as well. As we read through this passage, we see that there's a question that is asked of Jesus, which is the most important commandment of all? And I'm sure we've all read through this passage and we are all familiar with Jesus' answer, which is essentially love God and love people. And it's funny how Jesus, the man asked, which is the most important commandment of all? You would feel that just love God would have been the sufficient answer, right? But Jesus goes out and gives extra, and he says, the second is this. Okay, that wasn't the question. There wasn't, what's the second greatest commandment as well? The question was, what is the greatest commandment? But I think the reason why Jesus does this is because you really can't disconnect loving God and loving people. Okay? You can't, and even in 1 John, you will read that you can't love God and not love people, that these two commandments really go hand in hand. And so whenever we think that, oh, I love God, but if we don't love people, then those two things really don't make sense in the eyes of Jesus. that loving God and loving people go hand in hand alongside each other. And so we then come to the story of the lawyer asking the question then, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds with, "Do what is written in the law, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." And so then the lawyer then asks the question then, "Who is my neighbor?" Okay. And so Jesus then goes on and tells the story of the Good Samaritan here. And I think that's the question here in terms of the lawyer, that he's asking, "Who is my neighbor?" Now, is he asking that question because is it out of a place of eagerness? Is like, "Oh, tell me who my neighbor is so I can love them." Or is he asking that question, "Who's my neighbor?" In that way, tell me who is my neighbor, so then that way I can figure out who am I supposed to love and who I'm not to love. And so then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you know the story of the Good Samaritan and the history behind the idea that this Jewish individual, that the Samaritan who is completely at odds with Jewish culture and the differences that they have, is the one that ends up showing love to this Samaritan along the way, going out of his way in terms of helping the one that has been robbed. And so when we're looking at this question of who is my neighbor, we can see that a neighbor is not defined by geographic proximity. For the Samaritan and the Jewish man in Jesus' story did not live near one another. Okay, so it's not about proximity. For the Samaritan and the Jewish man did not live near one another and met while traveling the road to Jericho. Nor can a neighbor be defined by race, for the Samaritans were a people of mixed ancestry and were despised by most Jewish people in the first century. And a neighbor cannot be defined by common beliefs, for Jews and Samaritans agreed about fundamentals like scripture and worship. If you remember the story of Jesus and the Samaritan at the well, they had different views of where worship should be, and Jesus speaks to her about that. So Jesus doesn't narrow the definition of neighbor, but instead he expands it to include everyone imaginable. So this story here is meant to challenge the idea of not just who your neighbor is, but the extent from which love will go at the same time, and to the extent in the ways that love will challenge us as well. And so that's why Jesus says he says throughout Scripture, he says, "What difference does it make if you love your friend, if you love someone that you like already?" Okay? That doesn't make you any different than anyone else. Then that's why Jesus says, "Love your enemies as well." Why? Because there, in that moment, there's a challenge for love to occur. And so in the same way that Jesus doesn't expand the definition of neighbor, because there will be moments in our lives where we will be challenged in how we love people because of all, whatever it might be happening in our lives. It could be because of the way we were raised, the way we were brought up, that it might be a challenging moment in our lives to love people. And so in this case, we find that even in this story here, that we see that the Good Samaritan, the extent in which he helps out the individual that has been robbed, the extent by paying for him, it even tells us the cost of what it costs the Good Samaritan, to the extent of even of bringing him into an inn and taking care of him. And so we see that love can sometimes be costly in our lives. And the question is sometimes, are we going to pay the cost of love in our lives? Now, I find this, I was reflecting on this story and I'm like, "Oh wow, that's a great story." I don't think most of us will agree. I think most of us would be challenged. You know, I think most of us, and nowadays, I think I would have been, I don't know if I would have asked Jesus, it's like, "Okay, Jesus, if the robber was there and and the person that robbed is there. How do I love that? How do I make sense out of loving the robber and the one who's been robbed? Because at the cross, you died for both of them. And I think that's the beauty of it, is that that's the beauty and that's the challenge of love in our lives sometimes. And for me, that was just a personal question and reflection. God, how would I love the robber and how would I love the robbed? Because I think sometimes in our lives, we get caught up, I think especially sometimes in families. You know, I don't have two kids. I have one kid, but I know I've seen some of my friends trying to handle disputes between their kids of like, oh man, where am I going to stand in terms of this? Like, I know you're right and you're wrong, but I gotta manage not just the situation and the conflict here, but I gotta manage the relationships that are happening here as well. And so I think for me, when I'm reflecting on this passage, yes, love should challenge us all the time. That's the reality of being a follower of Christ, that there will be moments in our lives where there will be people in our lives that it will be hard to love, whether it's be the robber or it be the robbed. And that there will be, and the second reality of it is that love will be costly sometimes in that way. In this moment, it was financially costly. Maybe it was, we don't know if the Good Samaritan was in their own rights as well. But we know the Samaritan stopped and took care of the one robbed. And especially in defining our neighbor. And I think this is super, super challenging for me because I think since I've been in Hong Kong, I've never really ever talked to any neighbor that I've had. I think maybe once. And that's because they kept the door open all the time. And so it was easy to kind of just say hi to them as I walked by. And I think sometimes when I look at this passage, there's so many excuses that could come along the way. And I could be like, oh man, I'm in Hong Kong. I'm new here, so it's hard to love people. Oh, I'm in Hong Kong. They speak a different language. Oh, therefore I can't love them. And I think we could run through the different, and if we will look for an excuse to love people, we will find an excuse, I think, at the end of the day. And so I think for me, I'm challenged in this area of reflecting, God, the question is not who are my neighbors, because Jesus says everyone is my neighbor. But I think the question I'm just praying for, maybe the prayer for my own life right now is, God, make me a better neighbor. Make me a better neighbor to people that are in need of an encounter with your love. So as we go into a time of worship, let's close our eyes and just reflect on this passage of these challenges that Scripture presents in our lives, that you can't love God and not love people. That these two things cannot disagree with one another. If we're going to love God, then we must love people. And I think in loving God, it will lead to loving people. I think that's just the fruit of loving God. And the fruit of loving God leads to loving people. And so in this morning, that as we reflect on this passage, let's reflect on God. How can I be a better neighbor in loving those around me? When have I been too busy to love? When have I used an excuse to love? Father, I know that I think we all fall short of this commandment to love our neighbor. And so, Father, in the midst of that discouragement, we look to the cross that you paid the price for us, because, yeah, we're not going to get it right all the time, and you got it right at the cross. And so, Father, I pray that when we look at people, we will look at them through the eyes of the cross, that you died both for the robber and the robbed. Father, I pray that we would be challenged in who we are called to love, that we would not just love those that are easy, those that we're comfortable with, but that we would love those that challenge us, that challenge what it means to be loved. And I pray that you will strengthen us and encourage us when love becomes costly in our lives. So, Father, we thank you as we go into a time of worship. Amen. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Yeah, Father, thank you. In reality, we are that man in the ditch that has been and sometimes beaten and left bloodied by this world. But you sent your one and only Son to come down to bring healing and to bring salvation into our lives. And so, Father, just as you lay down your life for us, I pray that we would learn in our life to lay our life down for those around us. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go into a time of prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer and are in need of God's healing. Also sick, but also are in need of an encounter with Jesus as well. Pray for those that have infirmities. Recovery and our frontline medical workers. For those that are looking for job opportunities in this season.
Just pray for Hong Kong and all the various needs that are here and so many others as well. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for Pisan specifically for his surgery and just for the doctors and just for a quick recovery as well. Education for SP kids, SP youth, and SPU. Worship and sound and AV team. Let's pray for those that are pregnant. Pray for our house churches that are gathering tonight. Yeah, Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Pray that we, as we go throughout our day, that our hearts and our minds will be set on you, that we would love you and love people. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.